Let's continue reading verses 29 through 34 of Genesis 25. In this last section of Genesis 25, we have the record of Esau selling his birthright to Jacob. Genesis 25, verse 29. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I am about to die. So what profit shall this birthright be to me?" Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Once again, some background notes. How old were Jacob and Esau when this event took place? Well, we don't know for sure, but probably they were teenagers or in their 20s. Jacob, who stayed around home, apparently became a pretty good cook. One day, Esau came in from a long day of hunting in the field. And verse 29 says he was weary or he was famished. He caught a whiff of that lentil stew that Jacob had just cooked up. It smelled good. You know, I wonder if Jacob had planned all this, knowing that Esau would be famished when he came in from a day of hunting. In any case, Esau wanted that stew so bad he was willing to sell his birthright to Jacob. Remember that Jacob and Esau were twins. But Esau had been born first, so the birthright belonged to Esau. But can you sell your birthright? Yes. In those days, you could transfer the benefits and responsibilities of the birthright. There are extra-biblical records known as the Nuzi Tablets. N-U-Z-I, all right? The Nuzi Tablets, which date back to patriarchal times, and they do testify to the practice of selling birthrights. Now, the birthright in those days consisted of three things. We could have a whole lecture on this, but essentially it consisted of three things. One, a position of supremacy in the family. Two, a double portion of the inheritance. This later became part of the Mosaic Law. And three, and this is the significant point here, the spiritual privileges and responsibilities in the family. Remember, back in patriarchal days, there was no priesthood yet. That came later under the Mosaic Law. So the priestly rights and privileges and responsibilities, or the pastoral responsibilities within the family, were part of the birthright that belonged to the firstborn. It was a privileged position as well as a very responsible position. Furthermore, their birthright in this family carried with it the promise of the Messianic line. So that's the important point here. Esau couldn't care less about this third aspect of the birthright. He was a man of the moment, and right now he was famished. Verse 32, and Esau said, "Look, I am about to die." Quite an exaggeration, by the way. "So what profit shall this birthright be to me?" Basically, what he's saying is this: what good is this birthright to me, inheritance to me? I'm famished. Who cares about those spiritual privileges and responsibilities? Just give me that stew. So Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for a single meal. Now that brings us to our doctrinal points, or teaching points, for this section. Doctrinal point number one: to despise the things of God is a serious sin. To despise the things of God is a serious sin. Verse 34 says, "And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." He looked down on it. He held it in contempt. He treated it as worthless. Because of the spiritual aspect to the birthright, this was serious. In fact, it was sin, serious sin. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16, we are warned not to be like Esau, who for one morsel of food, a single meal, sold his birthright. For this, he is called a profane person. Hebrews 12:16. To despise the things of God is a serious sin. Is it possible that there are some Esau's here this morning? You say, no way. No way I'm like Esau. No way anyone here is like Esau. I would never despise the things of God. Well, what about our priorities? If we'd much rather stay home and watch TV instead of meeting with fellow believers, does that not indicate a certain looking down on the things of the Lord? If we'd rather spend more time reading a newspaper or a magazine or a good novel than spending time in the scriptures, in the Word of God, is this not a certain looking down on the things of the Lord? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong to read newspapers or magazines or good novels, but it's a matter of priorities. That's the point. Where are your priorities? Where are my priorities? Is it possible that we're looking down on the things of the Lord? Now, we may not be full Esau's, but it is possible that we're partial Esau's. You know, maybe our priorities are not completely straightened out. To despise the things of God is a serious sin. Doctrinal point number two. To scheme for the things of God is a serious mistake. To scheme for the things of God is a serious mistake. Jacob did not despise the things of God. He was not like Esau. In fact, Jacob appreciated the things of God. Jacob wanted the birthright and later the blessing. Jacob was willing to take on the spiritual responsibilities in the family. That's the good news about Jacob. But Jacob went about it the wrong way. Jacob schemed to obtain the birthright. This was a serious mistake. To scheme for the things of God is a serious mistake. All Jacob had to do was wait on God. God had clearly declared that when the boys were born, the older will serve the younger. Certainly Isaac and Rebekah would have communicated that fact to Jacob. But Jacob couldn't wait for God. He rushed ahead and schemed to obtain the things of God. This was a serious mistake. And because it was a serious mistake, Jacob had to reap the consequences. Jacob would have a long way to go in the school of God. To scheme for the things of God is a serious mistake. Now, there are many applications of this principle today, but I think the most obvious one would be in the area of schemes for money making in the church or in Christian ministries. Now, I'm sure every one of you could give me an example of a money making scheme for the things of God. In fact, many of you probably got at least one fundraising letter for some Christian ministry this week in the mail. Right? Now, I'm not saying that all fundraising techniques, methods that Christians use are wrong. I'm not saying that. But there are a lot of unbiblical schemes for fundraising and raising money. And that certainly is wrong. Did you know that there are agencies that will do your fundraising for you? And they guarantee a certain return, because they know how to manipulate people to give. And there are Christian ministries that use these agencies. I mean, I'm not talking about necessarily Christian agencies, non-Christian agencies that you can tap into to raise funds for you. I would say that definitely is scheming for the things of God. That's not waiting on God. We should do God's work in God's way. The scheme for the things of God is a serious mistake. You know, I'm preaching a warning to myself right here this morning. As many of you know, I'm involved in a radio ministry called Talks for Growing Christians. Talks for Growing Christians does not financially support itself. It's mostly supported by a few Christians who don't even hear the program. Now, here's the point. I know I could scheme to make this radio ministry not only support itself, but actually make money. I know I could do it. At the end of each program, all I would have to do is give an emotional appeal and offer something for all who would send in a so-called love gift, and you would turn the crank. The money would come in. It happens. I don't want to risk scheming. Do you? And once you cross that line, where do you stop? To scheme for the things of God is a serious mistake. What about practical application from this last section of Genesis 25? Will you sell your birthright for a single meal? Will you sell your birthright for a single meal? Hebrews 12, verse 16, that verse we read says that Esau sold his birthright for a single meal, for one morsel of food. How stupid can you be? That's really the point of the passage. How foolish to sacrifice spiritual blessing for one moment of physical satisfaction. That's really stupid. But it's possible to do. It's possible for us to do. It's possible to trade off spiritual blessings for momentary physical or material pleasure. King David did it. For one moment of pleasure with Bathsheba, David disobeyed God. He brought shame on himself and God's people, and he reaped what he had sown for the rest of his life. Sure, God picked up the pieces, but think of the sorrow and heartache and loss of blessing that David experienced for that single meal of pleasure. Will you sell your birthright for a single meal? Quite a warning, right, for all of us. Illustration. You know, when I went to seminary, I was looking forward to studying under a particular professor who I had come to admire and respect. When I arrived on the campus, I found out that this particular professor had been dismissed for moral reasons. To make a long story short, he left his wife and ran off with the secretary who was typing up the manuscript for a commentary he was writing on the Gospel of Mark. Can you believe it? With that one action, he removed himself from an area of great spiritual blessing in his own life and in the lives of others. He essentially sold his birthright for a single meal. He didn't lose his salvation. We're not saying anything like that. But he lost out on blessing, spiritual blessing. Every Christian is vulnerable in reference to this lesson. And it's not just in the area of sex. Many areas. Some Christians trade their blessings, their spiritual blessings, for material things. Some Christians sell their spiritual blessings, as it were, for positions of power, even within the church. Some Christians trade off their spiritual blessings for the perfect retirement set up. You're never immune. Age doesn't deliver you from this. Will you trade off your spiritual blessings for momentary, short-lived, shall we say, physical, material benefits? Will you sell your birthright for a single meal?